consciousness is overrated. Coffee.
Let me tell you a story.
It's all about coffee. It's not really. This isn't really a story, even. I'm just going to talk to you about coffee. Because I can. I start every day with coffee. I think a lot of people do. Some tea. I like tea. Big fan of tea. I did contemplate tea for this particular piece. You know, a big teapot stewing away, but tea's harder to clean up, and I find it's more faffy, and tea's not quite right. I mean, this isn't a tea thing. I mean, there's no ceremony. It's all about the coffee, 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 and stuff. It's about communing with the coffee. There's something sacred about the first coffee of the day. There's something sacred about the first coffee of the day. There's something sacred about the first coffee of the day, is what I would say if I were a git. Because there really, really isn't. This isn't some ancient ritual with history and power. This is a junkie preparing their wake-up first fix of the day. I wouldn't be saying it was sacred if I were squatting with a lighter and a tablespoon. It's not on when it's a harder drug. A spoonful of heroin does not help the analogy go down. We're not even talking about a nice cup of coffee either. This is your common or garden freeze-dried instant shit here. It's heap in the brown stuff and boil a kettle, because first thing in the morning, unless one has servants or well-trained family members, who has the fucking will to do more than boil a fucking kettle? First cup. Poured. I, the junkie, stare at this first fix. The cup is warm, inviting, and the body yearns for that warm to pass through and down to fill my soul and wake me the fuck up. I'm irritable first thing. In that path between bed and coffee, a pathway with clear obstacles and familiar markers and milestones. Obstacle the first. Beyond getting out of bed. Clothes. Need it be said that clothes are necessary? Well, to some degree, if only to protect one from near boiling water. Even the briefest of stops for dressing gown and slippers is too much for my impatient body. I want my first coffee. I need that first coffee. No. I want that first coffee. But there are bodily functions to deal with. First, obstacle the second. The removal of waste is both obstacle and something. obstacle in so much as one must pause on the journey to the coffee, but also release. Even assuming I wasn't bursting to go straight away, to not go would ruin my enjoyment of that first hit, that first release from the fog of sleep. Clothed and bepissed, the next obstacles are as numerous as they are random dog guests, random requests, phone ringing, and incidents varied. Depending on the luck of the day of the draw, its obstacles end, the power of why. Except for those blessed days where the values of either is zero. An infinite void crossed impossibly fast, where one can crawl direct to the teat and suckle on mother's caffeinated milk. If that image isn't too weird, ignore me. It's too early in the morning for this sort of a carry-on. I'll be more lucid after the first cup of coffee. A cup is important for obvious reasons. We need something to hold the coffee. An innovation in science that marks us as a superior species to other basic tool-making creatures. The ability to heat liquids in containers was vital to our evolution, even more so than simply roasting meat over a fire. The bowl, the pot, the pan, the cup. A technological marvel, often unappreciated. The cup is important. Getting the correct cup is vital, for we are a perverse species whose senses are mixed up and merged in myriad ways. The taste of the coffee is not some fixed experience of our lonely mouth-bound taste buds. The taste is dependent on smell, on sight, on feel and thermal sensation, touches cousin sense. Even the sound of the liquid has an additional allure. The water at near boiling must sound right. The pour to have the right flow of sound, the right density of motion. Or we are forewarned that the taste will not be quite right. All the senses must work together in concert, including the internal ones, the chemical reactants, the bodily responses to the caffeine. If all these elements are so mixed, the right mix of coffee, milk, setting, need, fix, hope, cold, aching, a cup that satisfies as the right cup, whatever process drives that instinct. If all these things are in sync, the near random set of desires in the bipedal human species sat before it, then this one junkie, once the kettle has boiled, the water poured and mixed and mired, he stares at the cocktail and savours those last shaky, achy moments before indulging in that first blissful gulp. And yet I'm also reluctant to take that first sip. I mean, get it down, you man. Not yet. The body temperature is off. I feel cold to the bone, staring, hugging, holding the coffee close, feeling not so much like death warmed up, more like death desperately squatting over a warm toaster but unable to feel the benefit. But death doesn't drink coffee, just milk for the bones. first sip. The first cup. It doesn't get better than that, I'm afraid. Downhill all the way. It can't get better because our brains, our bodies, they adjust. Stupid thing. So a second cup, this up-and-coming sequel, will not taste as sweet. I used to drink a big mug of coffee first thing, but I stopped. Started drinking smaller and smaller cups, because then it was a number of hits, not one big cannon of caffeine, but death by a thousand shots, trying to drag out the return to life. One, two, three. Three small coffees to start the day. And I always try to start the day with the same cup, a favourite cup. It doesn't always work out that it's ready. The household dishwasher cycle isn't quite 24 hours, and washing up with my hands is a bitch. So I have a backup cup. One cup is used most, going through most days. The other goes through about half as often. And there is the backup cup, which is perfect. Almost never used. It is pristine and unsullied by the coffees of this world and the aggressive battlefields of suds. That is, in this case, the sidestepped semi-metaphor. That is the entropy of the universal washing bowl. Did I say that talking seriously about coffee tends to make you sound like a git? Well, let's lean into it. The second cup. Not nearly as sweet as the first, more casual, drunk almost in passing. I will demonstrate the casual passing drinking of the second cup via this digression on the difference between tea and coffee. I will need a slight run-up. I need to distract myself, you see, distract myself from taking this roundabout route. A digression on the difference between tea and coffee. Tea is a beautiful thing, delicate and associated with grace and cucumber sandwiches, whereas coffee is, well, maybe cosmopolitan. But it's noisy, crass, it bangs and buffets. The making of coffee, oh, the noise of it, the grinding, the hissing, the banging and the clunking, dear God, so much noise. Whereas tea is all clink and ding. And dunk. And it sustains. Tea sustains us in times of crisis. If someone accidentally chops off a limb, it's have a sweet cup of tea. Three sugars. Ah, that's hit the spot. But anyone in a dangerous situation where stress and anguish attacks, and the cry is not, get me a cappuccino. It's I could murder a cup of tea. Coffee is a slap in the face. Tea is a massage. Coffee is a drug of destruction. Tea is a messenger from the gods. Coffee will only grind you down. Tea will save you from yourself. Or some such bollocks. And my second cup is empty. Did you even notice when I drank it? Even I almost didn't notice that go down. But that's the second cup for you. It's the backup comfort, the necessary getting of over the hump. There is no poetry, even sham poetry, for the second cup of the day. It is Protestant with a work ethic to match. It's time now to down the caffeine crutch and get to work. Except, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that because I'm a foolish fool of a fool with the brain of an addict. I may know, I do know, I know as an intellectual certainty that there is no way of recreating the high of that first cup with a second, and that a third cup will not come close to even the second, but I'm going to down that third cup of coffee anyway, and taste again its bitter failure, and then, and only then, will I get off my ass to work. Work, work, work. To delay which leaves me contemplating a third cup of coffee, a dirty, wasteful, don't even bother to rinse the cup first cup of coffee, as if a pristine fresh cup could clean this foul soup, which I do not want but will drink anyway, because then I cannot start work, because then I cannot start. The milk and the granules merge as the kettle boils, waiting for the pour, for the two liquids to attempt to cancel out and split the difference, till everything is room temperature, till all difference is equalized at maximum entropy at the heat death of the universe. And it's as if the coffee just doesn't care. This coffee has no chance to succeed, if coffee could be said to have such a purpose, outside the reproduction of the bean in the berry wishing to reproduce and yet is captured and roasted to death, then processed and spat out over dissolvable granules. Though the immolation of the reproductive organs of the coffee plant has led to some impressive short-term gains in an evolutionary sense. If any creature has a purpose, it is its recreation, the spreading of genetic material into the future. Some genetic characteristics of coffee have been destroyed or curtailed by the selective breeding of coffee by humans, while others, the parts concerning taste, shape, and growing cycle, have benefited, whereas before the coffee plant had a relatively narrow grip on the planet, now it has been spread far and wide by humans. That said, this advantage is tied to the continued success of humanity. Should we fail, the domesticated coffee plant might struggle to survive, more reliant on humanity to ensure it competes with other plants in the long term. In the long term, we might be doing coffee a disservice. Perhaps we are locked in a dance of death. But perhaps we're thinking in too narrow a sense. The plant has no purpose except to survive and grow and spread, etc. But let's be human about this. Let's be selfish. And say the purpose of coffee, the reason for its existence in the universe, is to make me happy. Albeit briefly. Say between the hours of 8 and 9 in the morning, it can only do this first thing in the morning, following a night's sleep where my body has had the gall, to flush out my system and leave me desperate for a coffee fix. This third cup, imperfect as it is not in itself to blame for my disappointment in it. This third cup is the victim of human biology. It wants to fulfil its destiny to make me happy. But it is hampered, unable to reach its destiny as a caffeinated beverage. this coffee, will never succor. This coffee will never aid. This coffee will only disappoint. This coffee will only give me the jitters. This coffee is the failure of human biology in a cup. But that's not to say I'm not going to drink it anyway. Damn. Damn. I knew that would be a disappointment. I knew it. I knew, but I drank it anyway. Because that's what humans do. Addicts do. Structuring our addictions, vices, till we get them just the right side of fucked up. So, that's that. That's the last excuse gone. I'll have to get to work now. But first, I just need to make up my working cup of coffee to work with. The coffee to sit beside me as I work. And then I might get round to writing this piece. Honest.